Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
You know, last week, Pastor Karen did just a phenomenal job of kicking off our Christmas sermon series, The Savior We Need, by sharing the base scripture that this whole series is going to be based on. It's found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And again, this is what it says: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You know, this scripture was written about 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And it's a powerful reminder of the Savior that the world needed then and that we still need today. A powerful reminder. And last week, one of the beautiful things Pastor Karen showed us was that what we really need is a Savior whose names define who he is and isn't just a title. Right? We talked about that. Unlike earthly kings or presidents or politicians whose titles and power only last for the time that they're in office, Jesus has a power that never ends. His names, who he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Come on, who Jesus is never ends. And last week, Pastor Karen just did a phenomenal job of introducing us to that first name there in Isaiah, Wonderful Counselor. And what we learned there is that to get the full benefit of the Wonderful Counselor, we need to be honest with him, right? We talked about that. We need to be honest with him. Then we need to learn to listen for his voice. And finally, like any good counseling, it only works if you do something with it. So the last thing we learned is that you actually want to put into practice what the counselor shares with you, right? That's what we learned about the Wonderful Counselor last week. Today, I'd like to share with you another of the names that is found for Jesus in Isaiah 9, verse 6. Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty, come on. Are you already here about the mighty God, our Savior? Come on. Listen, when you hear the word mighty, what comes to your mind? Maybe strong. How about victorious? Sure, those absolutely are words that you could think of when you hear the word mighty. And my friends, Jesus certainly is those things. He certainly is those things. However, I would like to propose the word powerful as the strongest meaning when it comes to what Isaiah was really trying to communicate in that verse. Jesus, our mighty God. Jesus, our powerful God. That's the name that I'd like to focus on today. Now, if you remember, several weeks ago in our hashtag blessed series, one of the Beatitudes we covered was the word meek. And we talked about how Jesus was meek, but what we said meek meant was power under control, right? So that's one kind of power that Jesus certainly exhibited. But the power that Isaiah is describing, I think, is a different side of the power of Jesus. It's his power on full display. That's really more what Isaiah is trying to say. Meekness, power under control, great. Jesus exhibited that. But my friends, I'm here to proclaim and talk to you today about the power of Jesus displayed for everyone to see and experience. And that's really when we say on full display what we're talking about. It's us experiencing the power of Jesus. So how do we do that? How can we experience the power of Jesus in a very real way? The power that Jesus brought, as Isaiah prophesied. Well, we can see the power. We can experience the power that Jesus brought in some very incredible ways. How about this one? Jesus' power at work for you. Jesus' power at work. Another way to look at this power is how Jesus provides for us what we could never do on our own. That's the power that Jesus brought. It's one of the powers that Jesus brought. He brought the power to do things for you and I. Things that only he could do that we could never do on our own. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we were dead in our sins, and only Jesus could rescue us from that. We couldn't do that on our own. Isaiah chapter 40 says, at the beginning, as we get down to verses 28, 29, 30, that's a very famous, you know, part of Isaiah. It says that we actually had no power, but with Jesus, we do have power. And because of that power, we're going to soar on wings of eagles. We're going to be able to run and not be faint. You see, we cannot manufacture that on our own. We need Jesus to have that kind of power. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 and 10, it says that Jesus is really most effective when we are weakest. In other words, it says, in our weakness, Jesus shows himself strong. In other words, when we can't do something, that's when the power of Jesus shines. That's when it shines the greatest and the brightest, is when we actually can't do something. And check this out. Philippians 4:19 says this, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Wow. God is a supplier. Jesus is a supplier. It says, not some needs, it says, what does it say? Every need will be supplied by Christ Jesus. That's what the power of Jesus working for you can do. You know, here in this gift-giving season, I can't think of a better gift than the power of what Jesus does for you and me. You need your sins forgiven? Jesus can do that, but you can't. That's the power of Jesus working for you. You need strength to keep going when you're weak? Jesus can do that for you too, even when you can't see how to do it. That's the power of Jesus working for you. And this is so good, man. I just got to share. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God, and he is also doing what? Interceding for us. That means, did you catch that? I mean, right now in this very minute, moment, and second, Jesus is still doing things for you and I that we could never do for ourselves. Sure, listen now, you can pray to God, and the Father will certainly hear your prayers. Don't mistake what I'm saying here. Absolutely, you need to pray. Jesus said to pray, Jesus prayed, we need to go to God. But right in this very moment, Jesus is whispering to the Father in his spiritual ear. You see Mikey there, man. I got my, see Belen over here. Hey, what? Look, Father, look there. Look, come on. Come on now. They're trying to live for me. They're see what they're doing. And then you know what the Bible says? The ultimate thing that God hears from his Son whispering in his ear. I paid for their sins so they're righteous. I paid for their sins so they get in. I paid for their sins so that you can see them, Father, as holy and righteous and unblemished. That's what Jesus is whispering into God's ear for you and for me. Wow. My friends, that's Jesus working for you. Man. Here's another way that you and I can experience the power that the mighty God brought. Jesus' power at work in you. In you. Let me show you what Philippians 2:13 says. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power. Hear this. Giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So listen, if Jesus' power working for you is him doing what you can't do, then Jesus working in you is him giving you the power to live for him. That's what it means when Jesus is working in you. He's actually now giving you the power to live the life that God's calling us to live. And that power that he gives you is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in you gives you what it says, the desire, first of all, you need the desire to please God, and then the power to do it. Wow. You ever thought about that? That's powerful. The Holy Spirit, get this now, the Holy Spirit is in fact Jesus' spirit working in you. Remember, they're one. Father, Son, Spirit. Let me tell you what Jesus had to say about this Holy Spirit in John chapter 14. This is what he said in verses 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you how long? How long? How long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be what? In you. That's the Holy Spirit in you. You see, when you call upon the Holy Spirit and he brings you comfort or peace, that's the power of Jesus working in you. When you are not sure how you're going to do something, you want to do what God's called you to do. You want to pay your tithing. You want to serve. You want to do and give your life to God in the way that he's asked you to do it, but you don't know how to do it. The Holy Spirit gives you faith to do it. Let's talk about the word faith, because the Bible says that faith is actually a gift. You know, you can't just order faith on Amazon on a Friday or Good Tuesday or whatever these 50 million, you know, shopping days we have now. You don't just order up the Holy Spirit and he shows up on your door, or order faith and shows up on your door the next day. No. Faith is a gift. And the only way we can have faith is by the Holy Spirit living in us, guiding us, and teaching us. That's how we can have faith. That's why we need Jesus in us, that power in us to be able to please God. Let me tell you how important faith is. It's really kind of a bedrock of our relationship. It's so important that in Hebrews, it actually says it's impossible. The word says it is impossible to please God. It's not on your screen. Just listen to me now. It is impossible to please God without faith. That is a strong statement. That's a strong statement. And listen, anyone here want to please God? I want to please God. But listen, I'm going to need his Holy Spirit living in me in order to do that. First, to give me the desire and then the power to be able to please God. That gift of faith, or the comfort of the Holy Spirit, or the power and desire to live for God, are just a few ways that we can experience and live out the power of Christ in our lives, actually living in us. Aren't you thankful for a mighty God who lives in us? Aren't you thankful for a Savior who sent a Holy Spirit to fill us up so that we can live the life that pleases God? Wow. That's an incredible power. That is an incredible power. Thank you. What a gift. I want to spend some time now on a third way that we can experience in a very tangible way the power of Jesus. And that is this: Jesus' power at work through you. Through you. Acts 1:8. Jesus tells us that when we receive the Holy Spirit and that he lives in us, then he tells us we're supposed to be witnesses for him in the world. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul reminds us that it's not our persuasive words that are going to move people, but it's actually the power of God through the Holy Spirit working through us that is going to get things done. It's not us. Get that. The Apostle Paul was clear about that. And then again, let me show you what Jesus had to say about this. Again, back to John chapter 14. This is what verses 12 and 13 say. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do. When he says he, that means you. That means me. Because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, said Jesus, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, the power of Jesus working through you is putting in full display what he can do through you. It's when we take the power that's been put in us and we use that power to do something for God, to do something for God, to build his kingdom, to serve others, to be a witness for Jesus. That's what it looks like for the power of Jesus to work through you. You know, it's much like the parable of the talents that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 25. Some of you may be familiar with that story. If you're not, or if you are, I'm going to remind you. This is basically what Jesus said in Matthew 25. Again, it's not on your screen. Just listen to me up. The story goes like this. There was a master that was going away. And before he went away, he put before him three servants. To one servant he gave five talents, it says. To another servant he gave two talents. And to a third servant he gave one talent. Now, for those of you that may not know this, a talent was a form of money back then. Okay? So think of it. It's easy for us to think more money. Okay? So Jesus gave each of these servants some money to invest. Okay? Something of value to invest. And the story goes that the servant with five talents went out and doubled his money, right? Through industrious work, faithfulness, whatever. He took the five, made it into 10. Okay? Then the servant who had two talents took his two talents, made it into 4, right? Doubled. And finally, there was the one servant, though, didn't do anything with his talent. Went and stuck it in the ground, buried it. And then finally, the story goes that the master returned. And the master went to the two servants, the one with five and two, and expressed his pleasure, his gratitude. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servants. You took what I gave you, and you multiplied it into more." This is, in essence, what Jesus said. But it says the master was displeased with the one servant who didn't do anything with what God had placed in him. Didn't do anything with the talent. He simply buried it. I want you to keep this in mind about our mighty God and our mighty Savior. He is not only mighty, but he is a God of multiplication. Did you hear me? Our God is a God of multiplication. Jesus once walked by a plant and said, Why is that thing not producing? If it don't produce by this time next year, you're getting rid of it. That's hardcore Jesus. He has an expectation that we do something with what we're given. Come on. Jesus has an expectation. You notice also that Jesus didn't, in this talent parable, Jesus didn't reward the five talent servant any more than he did the two. He gave them both equal praise, right? This is not about a comparison. And you and I got to get this. This is not about comparison, right? What Jesus was honoring in them in this story, the master, and what he's going to honor in you and I is our faithfulness and our desire to please him. That's the only measurement that he's using. The only servant that he had a problem with was the one that didn't do anything at all. Come on. I mean, so this is not a competition. You know, the other cool thing about that story that I left out, it said when he did, oh, hear me on this to even show you more. It's not competition. It says that Jesus gave the talents out basically on the capacity that he knew those people had. Okay? It says he did it with wisdom, is what the story says. The master gave to each according to blank, right? So there was some strategy there. In other words, Jesus places things in your hand, in your life, power into you. You got to do something with it. And it's not a competition. It's not. He just wants you to do something with what he's given you. That's all. Come on. Come on. You see, my friends, Jesus came to this earth and was born and invested it all. He invested his entire life into you and me. Everything. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he has now invested power into you. He has invested power into you. And he expects to see a return. This ain't a performance-based thing. No, this is out of love. Jesus didn't save you just for yourself. Oh, you know, you better hear me now. It's clear he saved you because he loves you and you accept him. That's great. But he didn't save you. We talked about this a couple weeks ago to sit on the sidelines. He didn't save you just to do your own thing. He saved you to send you. Jesus saved you to send you. It was the same with his disciples and apostles. What did we say? The last words he said before he went to heaven, go and make disciples. That's a sending Savior. That is a sending Savior. In Acts chapter 3, is recorded the story of Peter and John and a lame beggar. Maybe you know it. The lame beggar was sitting outside the temple. Peter and John walked up to him, and he began to beg for money, which is what he had been doing for years, it said. And Peter and John looked at him and said, look, we ain't got money, but what we got is better than money. What we got is better than money. What we have, they said, is the power of the living Christ in us. That's what they said. And then they said to the beggar, now, get up. Because he was paralyzed. He was crippled. Get up and walk. Get up and walk. That's what the power of Jesus can look like working through you. And my friends, you don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be someone special. Because you know what? That same Holy Spirit that was in Peter and John is in you and me. Once you accept Christ, yes, come on. It's that same Holy Spirit that had risen Jesus from the dead. That same Holy Spirit that was in Peter and John still lives in every believer. Every believer. Not some. Not there ain't no partial Holy Spirit got some. No, 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 no. That same Holy Spirit lives in you. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus is still in the miracle working business. We sang that. Come on. We sang that today. We said Jesus is still in the miracle working business. And you know how he does it? The same way he's always done it since he left this earth. Through you and I, through very ordinary people filled with the Holy Spirit, submitted to his will, and sold out to the kingdom of God. That's how Jesus uses people. In the best way. Not in some weird name. I mean, you know, we get to participate. When we say Jesus is working through us, that means we get to be a part of what he's doing. He's still doing it. Let's be really clear. He's doing it. But oh my goodness, we get to participate in it. Woo! Yeah, what a privilege. You know, maybe some of you have experienced miraculous things. You know, Not too many years ago. I mean, I'm just going to speak from personal experience a minute, and you think about your own examples. I mean, we were in the hospital. Pastor Karen was in the hospital a couple years ago. Had a gallbladder. So, okay, we go in. The doctor says you got to go in, go to the hospital. And they get in there, and they start, you know, taking x-rays, blah, blah, blah. And they say, okay, well, you know, looks like we're going to have to go in there and take that sucker out, right? You know, surgery, whatever. And so I prayed over her, but you know what was cool? We had several other people come pray over her. You know, people that loved the Lord, people that were spirit-filled, you know, but they were nothing special. I mean, they were just ordinary believers, right, that had come to pray over her before the surgery. So she's literally on the table, not the surgical table yet, in the hospital room getting ready to be wheeled into the table. And the doctor says, I'll tell you what, I would just want to take one more x-ray before we go in there. All right. So they take an x-ray. Healed. 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 No surgery. No, they discharged her within hours. Ma'am, you're fine. We can't find. Got one of my sons that was healed from childhood cancer. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, God's still in the miracle-making business. And he does it by working through us. Just ordinary people. Well, Pastor, you're saying, well, that sounds pretty dramatic and sounds pretty, you know, that could never happen to me. Or maybe I haven't yet experienced a miracle. Some of you in this room I know have. I know some of your stories. I know some of you experienced those miracles in your own life. But maybe if you haven't. All right, well, Pastor, that sounds really dramatic. That sounds really cool. But all right, then let me hit you with this. Let me show you some things in Scripture that may be a little more tame for you, but are every bit as much real as any other miracle I just described. 2 Corinthians 1:4-6 reminds us that when we receive comfort, What are we supposed to do? It's on your screen. Go look it up. We're supposed to then give comfort to other people. You see, when you go comfort somebody, when you care about someone, you love on somebody, that's Jesus working through you. Did you know that? Do you realize? Do you think about that? Maybe that's not a miracle. That may be a miracle for somebody. You might not think it's a miracle, but for somebody that needs that love and comfort, that very well might be a miracle in their life. Matthew chapter 5, sang it in one of the songs today. Verses 14 through 16, Jesus tells his disciples, and he's speaking to you and me, he says, I am the light of the world. So what he's saying is my light, though, is going to now be put in you. And then what he says is, now go, you are the light of the world. You see, Jesus changes from, I'm the light, I'm going to put my light in you, and then he sends. Now it's your job to go be the light. Well, Pastor, how can I be a light? Hey, if you tell somebody about what Jesus has done in your life, you are being a light to the world. You are being a light for Jesus. That is an example of Jesus working through you. Do you see how this is really not complicated? It really is. It's very practical. Jesus gave us a very practical way to live out the gospel. It's not what my bride always say. Sometimes we're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. You know what? Jesus told it, working through you is actually the tangible realization and reality of Jesus doing things in this earth through you and me. That's incredible. Yeah. James 1. I think we had this in a sermon a couple weeks ago. James said that real religion looks like visiting the widows and the orphans and loving on them. Well, you know what? Every time you serve in that food pantry, you're doing the same thing. Every time you serve in that food pantry, you're showing people what it looks like for Jesus to work through you. Do you see how simple, how practical? I'm not even going to say the word simple because remember, that's why we need the second one. We need the Holy Spirit to give us a desire. We need the Spirit to so that we can please God. I'm not saying it's always easy because actually easy is really not a good word because sometimes it is going to be hard. Yeah. I'm just going to say that. But that's why we need the Holy Spirit living in us, because without the Holy Spirit, we won't have the desire. We won't be able to have the power to live out and please God. That's why we need him. And 1 Peter 4:10 powerfully proclaims that whatever gift or talent or power God has placed in you, he expects you to use it to serve others. Straight up. Listen, if you serve our kids in Next Gen, or you put out or take down flags or signs, or you serve others by putting out food, my friends, you are experiencing what it looks like for Jesus to work through you. If you serve on any team, anywhere in God's church, or do anything for his kingdom where you're serving him or others, you are experiencing what it looks like for God to work through you. Brandon, if you'll come. Wow. Man, what a mighty God that we serve. What a powerful Savior that we have in Jesus. And when he was born, my friends, Jesus brought that power with him in ways that we can experience every single day. Every single day. Jesus truly is the Savior that we need. He's everything. And he's all that we really need. A mighty God whose power works for us. A loving Savior whose power works in us. And a powerful Redeemer who, through the power of the Holy Spirit, continues to work through us. It's in his holy name that we pray. Will you pray with me right now? Our Father and our God, we come to you now so full of gratitude, God, for who you are and for the power that we get to experience through Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for sending us the Savior that we need. And God, we're so thankful for Jesus saving us by doing things that we could never do for ourselves. God, we're grateful for the power of the Holy Spirit living in us to bring us comfort and peace and to give us the desire and the power to live the life that you've called us to live. And Father God, help us now. God, will you help us take the power that's been placed in us and utilize that power? Use it as you've called us to do, to bring you honor and to bring you glory, and to show those of us, those around us in this world, what your power really looks like. We believe in your power, Jesus. We receive your power, Almighty God. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe that. Now, listen, with every eye still closed, every head still bowed, if you want today to experience the saving power of Jesus Christ, you can do that right now here today. You don't have to leave this room the same way you came in. You can walk out different. Listen, you cannot pay for your own sins, no matter how good you try to be. But I have good news for you today. Jesus already did that. He already did something that you could never do for yourself. So if today you want to receive that salvation power that is only found in Jesus Christ, let me invite you. Just believe that with all of your heart right now, with every fiber of your being, believe that. And as an expression of that belief, would you just pray this with me? And I invite every believer, if you're already a believer, this is a great chance to just renew your commitment to follow Christ. Would everyone just say this with me? Today, I repent of my sins. Jesus, wash me clean. Make me new. I believe that you died for me. And I believe that you rose again to give me a new life. So today, right now, I give you mine in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.